considering that the Helsing Guild had specifically tasked him with eradicating my bloodline. Still, most vampire slayers came and went, usually done in by a moment of distraction or by their own reckless, hateful hubris. Inyeri, though, had been around since the early Middle Ages, probably because he was irritatingly skilled at his job. I didn't wonder how he knew that I'd be in Berlin, because there was no point. Tracking me down was a special talent of his, just like the simultaneously patting my head and rubbing my belly was mine. Everyone was gifted in their own special way, and Yedi's skills just happened to be useful.
"Vampire,"
he whispered, the second our eyes met across the festive mob. There were several million decibels and the equivalent of an Olympic-sized pool between us, but I could hear him as clearly as if he dwelled inside my head. I studied him for a split second, took in the colourful tattoos that climbed around his neck to curl under his jawline, his dark hair and amber eyes, the towering stillness of his shoulders as people walked around him, instinctively stepping out of his way. "Slayer," I sighed. And then, as was my habit and sole option when faced with Inyedi, I began to run. I wove through the crowd fast enough to lose him, but slow enough not to raise suspicions among the celebrants. I ducked under trenches, dodged the hammers and megaphones that were being waved about, and I probably would have vanished into the night if a sobbing child hadn't materialized right in front of my eyes. I skidded to a halt, stared at the clump of reddened cheeks, snot, and inconsolable tears blubbering at my feet, waited for the toddler to take a breathing break from the bawling to stammer, "Are you, okay?" They were not. They were desperately looking for their Mutter, and even an archetypical monster such as myself couldn't not help the brat. "Entschuldigung?" I asked, frantically glancing around for a motherly-looking human. And once the Mutter in question was located, I scrammed again, but I'd lost too much of my advantage and... well, that's how I found myself close enough to Inyedi that I could feel his heart beating against my chest, pressed between him and the brick side of a house, to be precise. "This kind of shit," I mentally informed the universe, "does not incentivize good deeds." The universe didn't reply, probably because it was too scared of Laszlo Inyedi to speak over him as he said,
"Etheltrith, at last we meet again."
I beamed up, hoping that it would irritate him. "Hey, friend." We weren't friends, not by any correct meaning of the word, but as much as it pained me to admit it, I did have a bit of a parasocial relationship going on with him, despite us having exchanged a grand total of 24 words, most of which were some variation of "die," "monster," and "no, you die first." Not that I enjoy relentless harassment, but what's a girl to do when the only constant presence during the last millennium of her life has been a guy who's contractually mandated to murder her? "How long has it been?" I asked, batting my eyes. "At least since the early 80s. I hope you're still using sunscreen because those crow's feet around your eyes don't..." "Shit," I grunted, as a dagger sank into my stomach, pinning me to the brick wall. It wasn't a big deal. The only surefire way to kill a vampire was to drag them kicking and screaming into the sun, which Laszlo knew very well. Still, being skewered fucking hurt. "Nice to see you too," I sputtered between coughs, trying to hold my smile in place. A mix of phlegm and blood squirted out of my throat and landed on his button down, but I didn't feel bad at all. "Fuck him and his dry cleaning bill."
"Look at you,"
he murmured in his faded Eastern European accent, those yellow animal eyes raking down my skin.
"Flushed and plump and beautiful. You just fit."